Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's prayer time. Time to recognize you, Father. Time to come before you asking for your blessings. Time, oh God, for us to humble ourselves in your presence and asking, Lord, that you allow us into your presence, oh God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. God, we thank you this morning for life, love, liberty. God, we thank you. We honor you this morning, God, because you are the maker and creator of all things. We honor you for life, oh God. We give you glory this morning, oh Father, and we come, coming together on one accord, coming to worship you in spirit and in truth, coming with humbled hearts, oh God, and made up minds, God, that we lean and we depend on you for everything, God. But we thank you. We thank you because you're gracious and you're great, oh God, and greatly to be praised. We thank you this morning, Lord, for keeping us and for covering us. We give you glory now. We give you honor, God, and we give you praise. Good morning, God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with another great day. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Good morning, people of God. Good morning. It's Sunday study time this morning. Somebody say it's Sunday study time. You know, as our intro was playing and I heard Sister Brown say, let us hear a word from the Lord. Let Pastor Carzadeen. But this morning, Elder Harris, Elder Bill is coming. And he's going to teach this morning. Somebody say it's Sunday study time. It's time to learn more about how to learn more about and in and through the Word of God. So we're going to give place to Elder Harris this morning. We're going to share a little bit of a song with you, and we're going to move right on out of the way this morning. We're going to move right on out of the way. We are going to move out of the way this morning and let Elder Bill come. I want you to go ahead, get your papers, get your pens together, get those writing tools. He's going to have you working and active and learning this morning. And we want you to go come away from this morning with a mindset to really get into the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Just a little bit of this song before we go. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. Yes.
So I may worship thee. Create in me a clean heart. Purify me.
Yeah.
A clean heart, so I may worship thee. Create in me a clean heart. Purify, purify, purify me, God. Create in me a clean heart, so I may worship thee.
Come on, give him a praise. I know y'all will enjoy that this morning. I might give you a little bit more. Let us go ahead and get our mission and our vision this morning. We want to be reminded this morning of why God has us doing what he has us doing, why he wants us to always worship and to praise. Our mission this morning, if you will, to foster an atmosphere of true worship, reach souls for Christ, and empower the people of God to live in excellence through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. Our vision, we will live each day in excellence through Jesus Christ, that we might walk in expectation of the salvation of the Almighty God. Somebody say, living in excellence, and we respond. We walk in expectation. Amen. Come on, give him a praise right there. Give him a praise right there. Thank you, Lord. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Yes, here we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes. Restore the joy of salvation in me, God, so that I may worship thee. I'm just giving you a chance to get your paper and your pens together. Create in me a clean heart. Purify me. Purify me, God. Create in me a clean heart. Worship thee. You don't want God to cast you from his presence. Yeah. Please don't take your spirit from me, but restore the joy of salvation so that I may worship thee. Create a clean God. Purify me, yeah. Purify me, God, yeah. No matter what the enemy brings, God, keep me clean. Keep my heart pure. Keep my heart pure so I can worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Create in me, me, God. Take it personal. Purify me. Purify me, God. Yeah, yeah. A clean heart so I may worship thee, so that I may worship thee, so that I may worship thee, so that I may worship thee. Yes, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Come on, people of God. Give up a praise for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen, amen. I want you to give a look at this. Get ready, an elder is on the way. Somebody type in, it's Sunday study time, and I'm ready to learn. Come on, type it in, it's Sunday study time, and I am ready to learn. I'll see you back in just a little while.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, I say good morning. God bless you. We are here today to study the Bible. That's what we're here to do today. And today I'm going to have you working. I'm Elder Harris. I am your host and your teacher for our Sunday study, Bible study. I want to tell you and remind you that I'm not here to read the Bible and then tell you what the scriptures say, but I'm here to guide you through a process where you will be excited about learning the Bible for yourself. Today, we're going to start doing some serious marking and looking at the scriptures as you would be studying them. And that's one of the things I want to make sure you really understand why and how we go through the process of doing the inductive study process. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started today. Our lesson, of course, is discover God's Word. We're on part four. Don't worry if you have not seen 1, 2, and 3. They're on our YouTube site as well as our Facebook site, and they can get you caught up. I have also placed out there some videos for you as well to help you to remember or help you to go back and see things that we've covered before and to get you caught up. Not a problem whatsoever. Our goal continues to be to ensure that you are equipped with the tools necessary to learn how to read and study the Bible for yourself. We'll be doing research, we'll be doing resources, we'll be learning how to use our external things other than the Bible, but our Bible is our primary source for information and our studying. And the whole purpose is for us to fulfill with our reference scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. As we go through and study our Bible, we'll be referring to scriptures, and you're going to have to flip through your Bible quite a bit. And we'll help you get through that without a problem. Sometimes we'll put them up on the screen for you as well. Now today we're going to be doing some marking and showing you how to mark and write in your Bible and take notes. It is a process and a skill that needs to be learned. And it doesn't come overnight, and it's not always easy. This type of study is not for the faint at heart. It is a hard process to learn what God has for us. Does he make it easy? Not all the time. Does he make it hard? Sometimes, yes. He wants the wisdom to be known to man, but it requires us to study to show ourselves approved. Last Sunday's study, we were plagued by a lot of technical difficulties. So a lot of what we covered, we'll have to do in other sessions. Plus, I put it out there on our Facebook site for us, as well as our activities page on our website. And I'll give those that information to you later on. Well, here goes this long spill that I get into, and I want to keep pounding it in your heads because how important it is for you to understand where our Bible comes from and how it was made up. It was written over a period of 12 to 1600 years ago, in part by 40-plus authors for a specific group of people, for a specific purpose and a specific period of time, and given us an unfathomable amount of information and topics, and it's all about one central character. And I will say that over and over again till all of a sudden I can actually hear it from you out there online. Today we'll briefly do a quick review, and then we'll get right into our topics. Remember, we covered the interpretive journey. That is covered in lessons 1 and 2 and also in 3. We taught you the inductive study. Remember, the inductive study is a three-part method. Observation, discovering what it says. Interpretation, discover what it means. And application, discover how it works. How does it all work? We'll be going through that process today. This month's lesson, we're going to be looking a little more detailed at observation. Observation, if you remember, we have broken down into 5 principles. And if you haven't, here they are. We're going to begin with prayer. Identify the context. And the context simply means that which comes before and after the text that we're looking at. We're going to observe the obvious. People, places, events, those are the obvious things. We're going to deal with the text objectively. That means to be open at what we're reading and not be confused by the things of this world and our own culture, but looking at things objectively. And then we're going to read with a purpose. Read with a purpose. Today we're going to concentrate on that last one, Principle 5, reading with a purpose. Well, what does that mean, Elder? Read with a purpose. I'm reading the Bible so that I can gather and gain information from the Lord, what it is he has to tell me. But in doing so, I need to know what to look for and how to read the Bible. So in reading with a purpose, we're reading with a purpose to accomplish asking questions of the text. This is where I call it interrogation. We must interrogate the text as a detective would in a crime scene or in a scene or with a witness. Okay, well, how do I interrogate the text? We talked about the 5 W's and an H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Asking questions of the text can help us to understand better what God is telling us. And many times that you almost don't have to ask those questions. You can read the text, and it will actually jump right out at you. But we're going to go through some of those today, and we're going to see how to do that. Well, the who. Let's take a look at the who. Who wrote it? Who's it about? Who said it? Who are the people? Who are the major characters? These are the types of questions you ask on the who. The what? What is the main event? What are the main ideas? And that's very important. We'll look at that. What are the major teachings? And what are these people doing? And who are they? Those type of questions. We look at when. When was it written? When did the events take place? When will it happen? When did he or she say it? These are the types of things. Where? Where was this all done? Where was this said? Where will it happen? These are the things we look at with where. And of course, why? Why gives us the answer as to why was it written? Why did it happen? Why is this going on? Why is this person not doing this? There's a lot there. There's an awful lot. Ask questions of the text. Interrogate it.
How?
How usually tells us how did it happen? How's it going to happen? How is it illustrated? How gives us a lot of information into exactly how God is going to work for us or with us and how we are to do the things we need to do for him. Okay? Let's take an example. I'm going to make an illustration. I know that was a lot of information, but watch this. Watch how clearly this makes it to you. We're going to take a look at John 7 and 1. It's on your screen. John 7 and 1. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Amen. Again, as we read text, we read again and again, and I'm going to read it one more time. Now I can read it a little faster. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Okay. Let's look at the who, what, when, where, why, and the how. Who is this about? And that's obvious. After these things, Jesus was what? Jesus. This is about Jesus. What was he doing? Again, a question. What was he doing? Answer. He was walking. He was walking. Where was he walking? Answer. In Galilee, not Judea. Well, then, why was he not walking in Judea? Well, it says right there, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. When was this action taking place? The answer, after these things. It starts off that way. After these things. That's time. What things? Now we get into a little bit more of a discussion and in looking at text. What things? Well, the things that took place in the previous verses. This is where we talk about context. Many times, scriptures simply are misinterpreted because people misread or don't look at the details of the text. And that's what you're going to learn how to do. And you will be surprised at the things that you will learn using the inductive study method. Many of us know scripture. We know our favorite scriptures, and we can spout those off right away. But have we ever really studied that scripture in detail, in context, to see what was being said, who was saying it, where did they say it, and why did they say it? All that is a part of the interrogation process. We're going to talk about marking keywords. Why is that important for us? What does it tell us? And why do I need to mark my Bible when I can just read it? I can see those things in there. And excuse me, I had the technology distracted me for a second, and we got so many things moving here. But moving on, how do we make sense of this inductive study process? Marking our text is the only way we can make sense. There's a lot of information here, and a lot of information that you're asking yourself, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so how do you keep all that down? Well, you mark your text, you mark your keywords, and then you write a list of things that you've learned about the events that's going on in that passage, and that helps you to gather the information. And we'll see how that all works. In marking the text, and here's a good look for you. In marking the text, I can look at that page instantly, if I was a little closer, that is, tell you what subjects are there, what colors I've used, why I've used the shapes. And as you go through, you mark in text, and you can write your notes in your margins in Bibles that have space for you to write it. You could even go and print off with today's technology. You can go and print off pages of Scripture, double space it, and it gives you more room to write notes. Remember, the object is not to have a pretty Bible. is to have one that's a working Bible. A working Bible. It helps us to slow down when you mark your text. It helps us to see key words and people and places quickly. It helps us to recognize themes. Helps our recall and memory also. Okay? And I covered this before, but I want to make sure you get it. There are three ways to make symbols and markings in your Bible. One is by coloring each of the words, the key words, in a specific color or a combination of shapes and color. Two is by drawing a diagram around a particular word to distinguish it from the other so that you know what it looks like and keep it consistent by combining colors with a diagram. For instance, the gospel, that is shouting out the good news. So it would be nice to make a megaphone of it. And the way I use it is a gospel is green and it has a highlight around it as well, a drawing. There's different ways of doing that. Okay. You can go to these sites that you see below me, faithlife.com/RamaCFChurch/activities, and there I have listed what types of things to look for and also how to mark them. And or you can go to Facebook as well, facebook.com, and there you also will find information on how and what to mark. Okay, it's been previously published. So we're going to get right into it. Last month, some of you may have gotten this and some of you may not. Last month, I produced something called Study Challenges. And the Study Challenges basically are me giving you an assignment. And in that assignment, during our Home Study Challenge, you were to go through and do whatever it is that I've asked you to do, and then mark and study the Scriptures. And so I'm going to go through those with you today. We've got a couple of them, and I'm going to work with you. So you're going to need your pens out, your Bible, or paper, so that you can write yourself notes. And we're going to go through that process of what to mark and why and how, okay? And I'm going to be able to show you that as well. The first home study challenge was to find, and I changed it from 20 to 10. I brought it down there. I didn't want to make it that tough on you. But to find a minimum of 10 or 20, if you've done it, observations in Acts 1:8. And to list them on paper. And in, for instance, here's an example. The passage starts off with a conjunction, the word but, okay? The word but. All right. So let's go through, and I'm going to show you how to do marking. And I'm going to put my handy-dandy iPad on the screen for you. All right. So it was to find at least 10 observations in Acts 1:8. List them on a sheet of paper. I want you to stay with observations and avoid making interpretations or applications. Just observations. And you are to work hard and dig for these. And the scripture reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let me read it once more. And again, this is what you should do as well. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Okay? All right. I'm going to mark on the screen with you as you go through and mark and make sure that I've got my drawing tools selected. All right. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Ah, boy, "you" is repeated in there, so "you" must be important. And I see that later on there's another "you." So I'm going to mark "you" first because this is referring to someone. So I'm going to just use my blue highlighter and mark the word "you" as I go through. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That "you" was repeated three times. It must be important. Also, I see one of the Trinity. I'm going to mark the Trinity. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, and here's my symbol for Holy Spirit. You can use what you need. You can put a cloud around it. You can underline it. We in here at Rhema use yellow and purple as the colors for the Trinity. So it's your choice on what you use, but remember, be consistent. So a line under it, and then we use the left side of the Trinity symbol and a cloud on the other end. So now I've identified the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, because of the nature of the Trinity, is always important and always will be recognized. Does not need to be repeated. Okay. Oh, there's some other things in here that are kind of important. Let's see. We said that the passage begins with the word but, a conjunction. I pointed out in one of the previous lessons that conjunctions are important because they tie things together. And this is my symbol for a conjunction. Just shows a break and that it goes somewhere else. So in order for me to understand what this passage, where it comes from, I need to understand the but. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and, is a conjunction, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and, another conjunction, Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay. Conjunctions are important because they tie things together. They help you define a list. Oh, got that word. There it is, a list. There is a list here. There's a list here because of the word and. Let's see if we can define what this list is. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Well, that and first one, you will be my witness, must refer back to something else. And it refers back to this, you will receive power, and you will be my witness. Leaving everything else out, that brings you down to the root, to the bare skeleton of this passage. You will receive power, and you will be my witness. Okay? Hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that, because we're looking for our list right now. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea. Ah, there's one. This is the first thing in my list. Jerusalem and in all Judea. That's the second place in my list. And Samaria. That's the third place. Notice that I'm numbering them and putting circles. And lastly, to the end of the earth. That's the fourth thing in my list. So I have a list of four items. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Okay? Let's go back again and look and see if we missed anything or anything else that is important here. Well, but you will receive power. I'm going to use my orange or red or something, but that was important. You're going to receive power. I'm going to circle power. And what am I going to do with the power? Where did it come from? It's a verb that says, I'm going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Witnesses. Oh, wrong color. I'm going to stick with orange. Will be my witnesses. Uh-huh. As I look over my text again, something comes to mind. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my. Who's the my? Oh, there is a my there. So in order for me to determine who the my is, I'll need to go to find out previously where the my is. And so I'm going to move back to Acts 1 and 1 to see if I can start at the beginning of Acts and figure out who this my is, or who is speaking. Who is speaking? Interrogating the text. So if I go back to Acts 1 and 1, it says in here, in the first book of Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So this is Luke, because that's who the author of Acts is. Again, background as you look for information. Luke is talking about Jesus. So he is saying things that Jesus has taught. So this is this my going back, this my is Jesus. So I'm marking Jesus. And for Jesus, I use the opposite side of the Trinity symbol. I use the right side and I cross it, indicating Christ. So now I know who's speaking. I still don't know who he's speaking to, though. Who is he speaking to? So as I go back through the Acts, wait a minute, I'm violating the old principle here. I'm going with interpretation. We're just sticking with the observation, the word you. Now, you notice even I will do that. You will do it often. Try to stay with observation and not go to interpretation or defining things. All you're doing is looking and marking for things. I see that I have a list of four places. I see that I'm referring to someone called you. I also saw that my was here. And I went through an interpretation to show you how you're going to find that information. But right then, that's not the time to do it. So this is someone speaking to someone else about what's going on. I see that there is time in here. When? Because we asked the question, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. That was a skeleton. And that question is, when? Well, when the Holy Spirit has come upon someone or you. Okay? All right. Let's stop there for observations. Now, this is where you start looking deeply and say, okay, well, what else do I see here? There's a lot of things here. And so I did a list for you. I hope you got this information as we're going through it. So here are the things that I looked for and found. And I try to keep my list short without going too much. Just something very simple. It contains 34 words. Wow, that's an easy observation. Remember, observe the obvious. It has 34 words. It begins with the word but. Okay, what does that mean? That's a conjunction. That means it continues from a previous verse. All right, observation. You is used three times. My used one time. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. That's an observation. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be his witness, whoever his is. We'll go through that process. The word witness appears once, but it is inferred four times. Inferred four times. Why? Because you will be his witness in Jerusalem. You will be his witness in Judea. You will be his witness in Samaria. You will be his witness to the end of the earth. It's inferred four times. Okay? Skip number 12 because that's an interpretation and not just out there, but that gives you your background. The my is Christ, of course. The you refers to Acts 1 and 2, which is the apostles. Okay? It's written in future tense. You will. Okay? The word and, a conjunction, is used four times. And the passage is one sentence. That's important. It's one sentence. The Holy Spirit is referred to one time. There is only one reference to time. When? If you look at it carefully in your scriptures, there is no open quotation, only a closed one at the end. The word N-I-N is used twice. And then Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth are physical places. Okay? Again, observations. If you found others, I would love for you to share those simply by going to your comments and typing those in. If you found others or you see others, nothing is wrong. It's your observation. Nothing you type or put in there is wrong. It's your observations, what you see, because it will help you interpret the scriptures for yourself. Okay? It will help you interpret the scriptures for yourself. Fortunately, this is recorded, and you can go back and pull this out again if you want it want to check your list or you want to add some things. But please, if you see anything different, any idea, any thought, please ask us and we will, you know, we'll put it in there, or at least we can answer your questions as well. Okay, let's go through the process. We did our observation. Now let me show you what happens when you do your observations. Okay, you've done your observations. Now you need to do your interrogation. Okay, you need to do your interrogate. So let's interrogate the text. Who's speaking? Pause. I know you're not going to respond to me right away, but here you go. Who's speaking? Well, we said Jesus. We saw that in Acts 1 and 1. Jesus is speaking. To whom is Jesus speaking to? Who is the you in the passage? Who is the you in the passage? Now, gave it away, but if we hadn't, that means you would have to open your Bible, go back through Acts, and the easiest way to do it is when you find something that you need to go back, it's in context, you go back one verse at a time until you get the answer to your question. So going back one verse at a time will eventually wind up at Acts 1 and 2. It's his apostles. His apostles joined him. It's his apostles that joined him. Okay? All right, we're not finished asking some questions. What question was Jesus answering? Why did he say but? There was something that he responded to that caused him to say but. So he gave some information. Now he is given a comparison. But, he says. So as we look at that, watch this. You'll wind up in the beginning in Acts 1 and 6, where his apostles are asking him, is this the time now that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? That's what they were looking for. This is the key that gets you to understand who the apostles thought Jesus was, at least some of them. They thought he was coming as the new king, the king to reign and change things in Israel. This statement, is this time when you restore the kingdom of Israel? Huh. And then Christ does not directly answer that question, but he comes out and says, but, and this is where we get into it, that answer. What will happen when the Holy Spirit comes? What will happen when the Holy Spirit comes? What will happen when the Holy Spirit comes? Well, the apostles will receive power. Remember our task of going through the interpretive journey. We're not at that point yet. We're looking at grasping the text in their time. It was written, God, Christ was speaking to the apostles. So Luke wrote what was reported to him, that Christ was speaking to the apostles. So the apostles would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But that wasn't it. He would receive something else. And the apostles will be his, Christ's witnesses, okay, according to that. So Christ was telling them their assignment, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and that they would be his witnesses. So they knew that they had to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Where will they be witnesses? Answering that question, we know it. They'll be in Jerusalem, they'll be in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I think that doesn't leave out any place, right? I think everything's been covered in that. That means everywhere in the world, to the ends of the earth. So that is a quick display of how to go through and mark text. We're going to do another one, a little change up on our second challenge. So our first challenge was to go through. Notice that I marked the text first because it allowed me to see things that were in there if I wanted to do an observation. Remember, observation is very thorough and deep. Take your time. Read the text over and over. As you get better, you'll be doing two and three scriptures at one time. You'll be doing a whole chapter at another time, marking as you go through, marking one thing, going back again and marking the second thing, going back again and finding out how they're tied together, what their relationships are, going back, looking at references. This is a in-depth study of the Word of God. This is how we do it, if you truly want to know what God is telling us. Okay? All right. Let's look at our challenge two. Moving on to challenge two. It asks us to find as many observations. Now, the first time I told you how many to have, you know, 10 to 20. This one says to find as many as you can in Deuteronomy 6, chapters, verses 4 through 6. And then list them on the paper. Okay? Again, following that same sequence, you want to mark first. You want to mark the text first. Here we go. We want to mark the text first, do our observations, and then go through and answer the questions, and then interrogate the text. Okay, find as many as you can in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. And I will read. Boy, it'd be nice to have you guys read. Okay, and I will read. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, many of you already see that. That's a list. Verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay, read it nice and slow, make sure I understood it. I'll go back through and read again, a little faster to get the flow. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. Amen. Okay. Here I have verse again. I've spread it out a little bit more so that I can do some marks and you can see the marks. So let's go through. I see the word God was in here a couple of times. And so we want to mark that Trinity for sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God. The Lord is one. We'll get back to that in a second. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay, so now I'm going to use the symbol for God. And I notice that there are several references here. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one, the Lord, your God again, okay? So God, or the name for God, or synonym, words that stand for God, there are five of them here. Really? We'll get to that in a second, okay? Let's see what else we can mark. I see that the word our, your, refers to someone. Those are pronouns. And that means that they're pointing to someone. So I think I will mark them as well so that I can see what we're looking at here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And that's repeated a lot. It must be important. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. The your, our, stands for something. The person speaking is part of that group because in the fourth verse he refers our, meaning he's included or he or she is included in that. Okay? All right. I see another pronoun. Everybody spot that other pronoun? The word I. The word I. I'm going to use a blue rectangle around the word I. It will look a little strange because the word I is in the middle of it. But there's a pronoun, the word I. Anybody else see another pronoun in here? Sure. If you go back to verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is what? He is one. He is one. Now, we won't get interpretation just yet. So I'm going to go ahead for the sake of it. Now, Mark, he is one. The Lord our God is one. Okay? We use the triangle around the word God or the Lord our God as one. Now, anything else that jumps out on you? Let's take a look. I see that it begins with the verb here. That's a command. That's a command. Look for words that are commands because they usually tell you, you personally, what you're supposed to do in context. It says here, means listen. Ah, we missed something. O Israel, the Lord our God. Right there. That's who he's speaking to. So the yours and the ours is the nation of Israel. Well, we got one more question. There's an I here. Okay? Wait till we get to the interrogation. So that means someone's speaking. I see a list. Now, as you study, you will have your own layout. It'll make sense to you as you go through. But notice that I'm looking for one item at a time. Can't do them all at one time. You'll get confused and you'll miss your point. So stay with one thing at a time, okay? And then you'll go back and you'll see that you've missed things and you caught it. For instance, I caught Israel as I was going through doing the pronouns of you and our, okay? I see that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Ah, that's a list. We do a list with a number and a circle. With all your heart, with all your soul. It's number two with a circle, and with all your might. That is three things that I'm supposed to love the Lord. Ah, I said how, okay? And these are the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. The word heart appears, I see twice, but I can also see something else that ties them together. I see love. And what do you love with? You love with your heart. You love with your heart. So a symbol for heart. You think your heart is important in this? It appears three times. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your might, and you're supposed to share or store these things in your heart. Okay? All right. I'm going to stop there because there are other things. The word with is a conjunction. Just wanted to point that out to you so that you see. And as you see, you can do a lot of marking. Okay? So let's go ahead and answer some questions. Let's look at observations, rather. Okay? And again, I've done this for you. Let me slow down so that you can, if anybody's out there marking this, they can do so. All right. So here's my list, a little shorter list. There are 45 words in this passage. There are three verses. Where in the other one, it was only one. Passage begins with a verb, a command, here. Here. Pronoun or synonym you is used 8 times. The pronoun or synonym you refers to Israel. Because it starts off here. Who's the here? Israel's the here. The Lord is used 3 times. The phrase, remember, you look for repeated phrases and words. The phrase, Lord our God, is used 2 times. The title of Lord and God are the same because it says, Lord is one. That's my observation. The Lord is one. Love and synonyms of love are used 3 times. There's one reference to time, today. We didn't catch that one. I mean, I didn't put it in there. But today, and you do time with a little clock with a couple hands inside. So reference to time. All is used 3 times. With appears 3 times. There's a list within a list. Did you catch that? There is a list within a list. There is a list within a list. And, whoops, let me see if I find it. Or did I jump ahead of myself? Well, I is used one time. I'll go back and look for that in a second. And a conjunction is used three times. Okay? Again, marking your list, and then going back and doing an observation should be able to tell you what you've learned about the characters, about what is being said, who's speaking. It's to give you that information, and then you begin to interrogate the text. And as you interrogate the text, this will answer a lot of the questions that we didn't cover. For instance, who is speaking? It's not clear who's speaking here. It really isn't clear who's speaking at all until you go and start looking back through and you find out that it's Moses. Moses is the author of Deuteronomy. Okay? And that was found in Deuteronomy 5:1. And you go back and you see who the author is. So this is Moses speaking. And Moses is speaking to whom? Who is Moses speaking to? He is speaking to Israel, because the first line, first few words, first third word in there says, "Hear, O Israel." Hear, O Israel. So he is speaking to the people of Israel, as you find out also in Deuteronomy 6:4. Going back and looking at it. Hear, O Israel. Okay. Next question. What is he telling them to hear? He's telling them to hear. Hear what? What am I listening to? What are you telling me? He's telling them that the Lord and their God are one. The Lord and their God are one. Okay? He's also telling them to love the Lord God. Those are the two things. He says the Lord our God is one. And then he tells them, love the Lord. Okay? Love the Lord. Well, he also gives them the words, tells them that the words that he gives them, or the ones, the commands that he gives them, will be in their hearts. Okay? How are they to love the Lord? Once again, with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might. It tells them how. There's the how that's in there. What words in verse 6 is Moses commanding? This is a little more difficult, but it's something you need. He said, these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. What words is he commanding them? Okay? That requires you to do a little work. You're going to say, well, he's commanding them to hear what he's saying and to love the Lord. But that's not what he's commanding them. You have to go a little deeper into it. And if you go to Deuteronomy 5:31, he says God's commandments, statutes, and judgments. That's what he's given them. He's given them the commandments, statutes, and judgments. And if you remember Deuteronomy, it's where he's clarifying the Ten Commandments as well as all the other statutes and commands that God has given him. Those are the commands that he's given to the people of Israel. Okay? So again, a close study. At first, you might say, well, he's telling them to love the Lord God. That's what he's commanding them. No. Context. Context rules. Context rules. Context is that comes before and that comes after the text that you're studying. Always. Context always has the rule. Okay? Context has the rule. Okay. Our third challenge was a very easy one, and I just will show you an example so that you will be able to say, oh, is it that easy to make things? And I ask you to use 1 John. I'll go here and say, I ask you to use 1 John 1:5-7, and I'm going to show you my markings. I'm not going to go through and mark in the interest of time. I'm going to show you my markings, and then I'm going to pull from that my markings and show you, make a little table of how I would make myself a marking guide for my Bible and for myself. Because as you go through studying the Word of God, you're going to make symbols for so many different things, and you're not going to remember them all. You're not going to be able to. Some things will jump out because they're repeated often in the Bible. And those repetitions in the Bible tell us the themes of what we're reading. That's very important to understand that. So those things will come at you normally. Then there'll be those one-off type things where you'll make marks, and then you'll run into that same word again at some point, and you're like, well, what did I use for that? Well, creating a marking guide will help you so you'll be able to remember. Let me switch over so that I can show you 1 John 1:5-7, show you my markings and show you how I went through it. And I'll read it for you. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. Anytime you see an is in there, it's real important, because that's saying something is something else. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, second time I've seen darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Ideas, lying and truth. But if we walk in the light, seen that word before, as he is in the light, seen it again, we have fellowship, seen that word also, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A lot of markings there. Okay? As I was reading, I put emphasis on words that I found were key words. By the fourth or fifth time you're going through a verse, you'll be doing the same thing. The first time you'll be reading it normal. And then you'll start putting emphasis on the first things that you look for, such as the Trinity, in God, in him, in Jesus. Those things will come out, and you'll do that automatically. It's just going to happen. Then the fourth time you go through it, you've got several things marked, and you'll be putting pronunciation, enunciating, and speaking loudly those things. And again, reading aloud is helpful. Trust me. It's helpful as you go through, do your study, and put emphasis on those key words. Okay, so now how do I mark it? What do I do? Well, I know that I have God, and I create myself a little table, a little chart, put it on a list of line paper, draw some columns in there to help yourself. God is indicated by, again, yellow and purple. Keep the same colors. If I did not have a color, the triangle alone stands for the Trinity. Simple as that. Okay? So I'm sitting in church, and all I have is a pen or pencil, and I don't have all my color pencils because I don't want to take those to church normally. I'll just use a triangle. Jesus, remember, he is the right side of the triangle. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. So when you draw a symbol for Jesus, I draw an underline, that's the baseline, and then one of the sides of the triangle, in this case, the right side, since he's the right hand of the Father, and I draw a slanted cross. Does it need to be slanted? Absolutely not. It can be straight up and down. You can draw the cross straight up and down. That's up to you. Do you need to line at the baseline? Not always. Just draw a cross. Make it simple for yourself. Recipients, I highlight in blue. Or I could put a triangle around them if I don't have the color blue highlighter. Put a rectangle, a rectangle around them of a specific color, or just a rectangle. That shows the recipients. Fellowship, I use an orange box, which you can use any color, any shape that you want. Light, I use yellow highlighter with an orange oval around it, showing the light within. Darkness, use the brown interior with a circle around it, showing the darkness within. Your color, whatever you can put a D in there. Whatever helps you to remember. Truth, I drew a shield. Okay, as much of a shield as that is, but I drew a shield for truth, and I put it in orange. Okay, blood, the blood of Jesus. Three little drops, and notice that they're in a triangular shape, the Trinity. Three little dots of red indicating blood, or could be black, or could be lead gray. Okay, sin. I use brown for sin, or brown for anything that's harmful, or brown, lying. Brown is anything that's sin. Okay, cleanse. Washing wave of blue. Just shows a washing. So, you're symbols and colors should represent the things that you're marking so that you will not forget what they are. Okay? And it makes it easy for you to recall. All right. That was our assignment today, was to go through things. It's a challenge, but now you see how to go through, read the text, how to go through, mark the text. And I didn't give you things to look for the mark, but that as time goes on, you'll know what to begin to look for as you read, because they'll jump out at you. They'll be repeated. They'll be on that list of things to look for, or words to use, the words to look for, in the text. Your next assignment, your next home study challenge. This will challenge you. Again, at the beginning of the lesson, I said that many of us know Scripture. We have our favorite Scriptures to read. We've read before. We know them when we see them. But to know what they mean and what they're all about and take into context will change the meaning of those Scriptures for you. What I want you to do, if you will, you're going to find one or two of your favorite passages. You'll find one or two of your favorite passages, okay? You're going to conduct an inductive study on those passages. You're going to go and mark your keywords, your phrases, and items that you see from a list of things to look for that I told you where to find it, either on our website or on the Facebook. You're going to go through and interrogate the text. Don't forget context. Don't try to interpret. Don't put application on it. Go ahead and just remember context as you look and interrogate the text. Make a list of your finds. Make that list. Next, just like we did here today, then begin to answer this one question after you do your interrogation. Answer this one question when you finish. Did you learn anything new from the passage? In other words, did you learn anything new from the passage? Matthew 6 and 33, okay? Take passages that you know. See if you can pull that together, okay? Wow, there's quite a few of them out there. But anyway, take your favorite passages. Go through this process, okay? Then answer the question, did you learn something new from that scripture that you've always been quoting and that means so much to you? All of a sudden, it may have a new meaning. It may take on a different meaning, okay? I cited for you, I challenge some of you if you've done it. Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There's some inferences there. And all of a sudden, it took on a new meaning for me altogether. Okay. The first step in tackling any biblical text is to make a detailed observation. We want to dig deep and see as much as possible. That's so important to go through it. The list that I posted on Facebook is far from complete, but it will give you a start of things to look for. As we move deeper into the study, there'll be other things that I'll teach you to look for, like in a discourse, conversations between two people. What kind of things do you look for? So this will get you started. Next month, we're going to investigate interpretation. Interpretation is needless to say, it's pretty heavy because it requires looking and researching in several different books. And I will have for you a display of all the different type of resources that dictionaries, encyclopedias, biblical ones that will help you to understand. I really can dig in deep in my study, but in order to interpret text appropriately, you need to know how to do that. Okay, so those are the things we'll be doing next. If you have any questions for me, you can find me at ramaelder@gmail.com. You can write me and question me. Ask me where I got information. How do I get this? How do I do that? I've done this and I can't see this. I will help you. I will work through with you. If you have a question for Pastor, she can be reached at ramapastor@gmail.com. Get ahead of myself here. And you can write her, ask her questions and or comments and from there. But we are reachable. We are definitely reachable. Again, I am Elder Harris. I've been your host and your Bible study teacher for this day. I hope you've learned something today. I hope it was a blessing to you in this portion of it, learning how to read text, how to mark text, and how to interpret and look at those, not interpret, but how to look at things that are in there. So Key to understanding the inductive study process is practice. Practice and practice again and practice once more again. And when you finish practicing, guess what? Practice again. Be blessed, and we will see you next session, next month at that point in time. If this has been a blessing to you, or if you desire to know more about who Christ is and who God is in your life, remember that Romans 10 and 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just that simple, people. Believing that God sent his only begotten Son here to this earth to save us, to save you. Be personal. Save you. If you believe that, then he said you are saved. There's a lot that goes with you being saved, that eternal life. Let's pray this prayer with me right now. Father God, I believe, oh Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus. I believe in my heart. I believe, oh God, that you raised him from the dead. I believe it. I believe, oh Father, that based on what you said, I believe you, God, that I am saved. I ask you to forgive my sins. Save me, oh Lord. Help make me the person that you want me to be. I am yours. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer with us, then you indeed are saved. Amen. Amen. Rhema announcements. You can go to our website at rhemacfchurch.org, and on there, there's a donate button, donate and giving. Clicking on that button will allow you to donate and give to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry through PayPal. You can also go to our Cash App at $RhemaCFM. Again, our Cash App is $RhemaCFM. We really thank our patrons, our guests, our partners, our members for their service in doing things and giving to our church. We bless you because we are not able to do the things that we do, not as within our four walls of our church, but by doing them, by being able to do a broadcast online to you and still give service to and do service for God. We thank you so much for all your giving. We ask, though, that you can also go to our YouTube site. That's where we do our broadcasting, as well as Facebook, and subscribe. Please click on the subscription button and click on the bell. The bell will let you know when we are live and when we are going live at any time. We ask that you would go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. Share us with others on Facebook as well. Share us and like us. Pastor wants me to remind you that 949 on Mondays and Thursdays at 9 a.m., she brings you a little prayer, praise, and a word of worship. She asks you, please, bring your cup of positivity so you may have tea with her. That's her way of having a tea session. Also, we can be found on Facebook at Cars in Christ or at RhemaCFChurch.org on Facebook. Either one of those sites. Join her on Mondays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. That ends our announcements. Pastor wants me to remind you that every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom of God. Amen. Until next week, when you'll see Pastor Harris again bringing you a word from God, we bless you and say amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed by the life-changing word from Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. Rhema is located at 2106 Bonnabella Avenue, Savannah, Georgia, 31406. Join us for worship service at 9:45 each Sunday morning. God bless.